And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, I love this teaching that the Lord is trying to communicate to me regarding love. The world's definition of love is perverted. Love is not love. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The author of Hebrews writes that if we are loved by God, we are disciplined by God. These are foreign concepts to the world. However, too many Christians have taken the opposite approach. All they want to do is rebuke, chasten, and discipline. This is equally wrong, and we will examine. Next, continuing our fun in Isaiah, we'll examine when we call upon the Lord, how the Lord wants us to respond to him. We tried to do this one earlier and it got stuck, so we're going to do it again. To those all around us, he tells us, stop pointing your finger when you call upon my name. It is actually a yoke of burden, an enslavement that we spend our time finger pointing at other people. Not recognizing what's going on with their lives is what's going on with their own lives as well as our own lives is like Jesus explaining the difference between the splinter in someone's eye and the log that's in our own eye. See that difference between log and splinter? Huh? And finally, we do something that we haven't done often. In verse 27 through 30 of Matthew chapter 11, we've come to a wonderful statement and promise, and I skipped over it when we did our teaching expository-wise. I want to go back to it for a purpose. Jesus offers his grace and mercy to everyone who will come to him. He identifies those who are weary and helps carry their burdens. He promises them they will find rest. Then he allows them this privileged truth. I am humble, I am gentle, so let me teach you, and you will find out what I have for your life is perfect. It's the very thing that people are looking for to find fulfillment in life. The answer is to come to Jesus now and every day. Yes, Lord Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. What? 972-445-0770. Don't call us late for dinner. Just call us 972-445-0770. 70. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the weekend. I'm not going to lie to everybody on the air, so you know what's going on. I need this weekend.
You say you need at least a day.
I need a day, and we've got, we know where it is. Like, I need a day. I need a blah, 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 blah day.
Recharge.
Yeah, not that, but I got to say, Birdie, you know, he's had his little paw, so he had a little operation on his paw, and so you guys didn't, you normally you're supposed to put this cone on a dog so he doesn't lick his leg, which, you know, when Birdie has the cone on, he's like.
Goes crazy?
He's depressed.
Even if you sit there and like rub his head. And then we got the soft cone. Everybody goes, get one of the soft cones. Get one of the clear cones. Get one of these cones. Get one of these cones. Here's the response from Birdie. Get it off of me.
I think I'm with Birdie on that, Dave. I always thought those things looked weird.
They're kind of weird. And you can spend like $10, $23, and it's just like he doesn't care. Just talking. All right, so there's so much to share with you, but let's just do our trivia question before I get lost in it. I do want you guys to be aware of a couple things, okay? If you've got something going on and you need prayer, call us. I mean, that's what we're here for. I love to do the teaching. We love to have the fun. We love to engage and encourage one another, strengthen one another. But if you need prayer, call us. We'll pray for you. Will God answer? We believe he will. That's why we pray. You don't pray thinking, oh, he'll never answer. It's just being polite. We don't do that. We believe God will answer. What about healings and things of that nature? We believe God will answer. We don't tell God how to answer. We don't tell God when to answer. We just believe that God will answer us. And if you've got a praise report and something going on and it's just something you know, just like what our brother said, Will Rogers said the other day, where he goes, so, remember? Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so. And so we should be saying so and sharing that with one another. It was a great, great line. So I want you guys to be connected to that and be able to have that freedom and to engage. Even if we're doing teaching or something, don't hesitate. Because if we're not here to help one another, we're not here for that. Okay? Okay, if you don't get this one, I'm going to cry. I was telling Pastor Lash yesterday, I'll just take my ball and go home. Which judge offered up a riddle? Which judge offered up a riddle? Not the normal kind of thing for a judge to do. Could you just see a judge in a courtroom going, well, I've got a riddle for you.
He wasn't a normal guy either, though.
He was not a normal guy. I'll give you that one. Which judge? Thank you very much. If you think you know the answer, because we got to do our DNA. If you think you know the answer, offered up a riddle. 972-445-0770 is the number to call. Somebody's on the line. 214-210-8483. That's the number to text. And then David at HeMustIncrease.org. That, of course, would be the email. You can send a paper airplane, but we cannot get it because we're inside the studio and the doors do not permit that, although the studio is kind of nice. We do have somebody that is ready to answer the trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon. This is Al, David. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Al, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Not better than. Are you doing better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick? That's the question.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
that's a good answer then, right there. All right. Here we go. You ready for this one? All right.
Yes, sir.
Which judge offered up a riddle?
So she's on every day. Solomon.
Okay, which judge?
Samson, I'm sorry.
That's it, Samson! I knew you were there!
There I am. Here I am trying to make a joke and get the whole thing wrong.
See, but what's funnier is that you tried to make the joke. It didn't work. You still got there. However, everybody's sitting there going, he's got this. Everybody knows he's got this. And so that's what's so funny. And it's like everybody goes, love it, because that's all a part of it. I mean, brother, if I told you seriously, if I sat down with every one of you and said, every show I have at least 10, if not 30 mistakes that people often don't catch, but I catch them.
Oh,
that's good. But you got it, man. That's excellent.
Well,
excellent.
Thank you. Hey, I wanted to see if I could get a prayer request in for you, with you.
Yep. What do you got going on?
Okay. So we are leaving tomorrow for vacation. And with all the medical stuff that my wife has had and things like that, we're going to be out of the country, and I just pray that she doesn't have any issues. And, you know, I'll pray that I don't have any issues or anything like that, and that we have a good time and kind of draw closer together and maybe can work on our marriage a little bit. And just pray for our young adults that are staying here at home by themselves. So just pray that everything goes smooth with them and things like that.
All right, let's do it. That's a great, great prayer request. And we are praying for everybody and for Lori, for you, for everybody that's going on a regular basis. There's no quit. We don't do that.
We keep going
because we love you. So let's pray. That's a great, great prayer request. Let's do it. And everybody in the audience, take your faith and combine it with mine. Okay? Just take your faith. Go, yeah. Let's pray for him. Father, we come before you right now, and there's just no place ever better to go than to come before you and to lay it before you and to bring it to your throne. And Lord, we don't bring it in our power, our wisdom. We come in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of the one who redeemed us. And we petition you for Al, for Lori, for the family, we petition you for their vacation, for traveling mercies, for relationship mercies, for relaxation grace, for a wonderful time. Just for a season. They can just let some stuff go and enjoy each other, enjoy your grace. Of course, we pray for the kids. Lord, don't let them do anything they shouldn't do. Keep them safe, but don't let them worry about it. Don't let it not be a stress for either one of them. And let them enjoy their time. Keep the kids safe. Bless this family. They need a wonderful touch of just a refreshment and a renewal and a revival. You alone can provide that for them. Connect them in a great, profound way. We pray for them. We pray your blessing upon them. And Lord, even if it gets a little bumpy in route to and in route back, just keep them focused on your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. I appreciate it, brother. Hey, and I also wanted to let you know that we'd be out next week. So if I don't respond to any of your trivia questions, it's not because I'm offended by your jokes or anything. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you put it that way because that's the way I understand. Brother, you have a wonderful time, you and your family. God bless every one of you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
We'll
take care.
We'll see you when we get back. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. How great. Don't tell me, that's better than, you can't do teaching that's that good. You know what I'm saying?
How cool was that, Dave?
It's just cool. Let's just go. In fact, we'll do our DNA instead of doing teaching. Then we'll come back and do our teaching. But that, come on, see that right there? That's family.
Yeah.
That's the fellowship. And Pastor Lash and I were talking about this yesterday. Okay, so I want to point this out. We love the connection we have on the radio. You still need human contact. You can't. If you can't get there, that's one thing. But if you're able to fellowship, you should be fellowshipping. Because human touch is powerful, especially when the Lord is involved, right? Okay. And it was such a blessing to meet Al face-to-face finally when at the church.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It was Al.
Yeah, that was great. Okay. He had Al and Eric there. I can't believe I didn't take a picture. Anyway. All right, let's do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Don't tell me, I had a dream. It wasn't from the Lord. I had a dream that I was like, it's been 25 years and 6 months, because it's been 25 years, 6 months, and 3 days that I have not missed spending an hour with the Lord or more for less than 25. And in the dream, somebody goes, no, you missed this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then we got into this big argument. And it was just like, that's the guy. It's like the devil just trying to make things ridiculous.
That's exactly what that was.
It's just like so stupid. I remember one time that I did have a dream, and I told her, I said, if I don't make it, I'm not trying not to make it. I'm not even kidding you. I had a dream that's like I missed it, and then I said, okay, time to start the next 25 years. And I just like this. See, that one was from the Lord. The other one was from the enemy. See the difference? All right, let's just start up again. Versus a big argument about it. See, it's like so weird, right? So anyway, spend time with the Lord. Now, why is that important? Well, it saved my life, and I bet it'll save yours. How about that? And it's keeping me, and I bet it keeps you. Because it's you spending time with the Lord, and he keeps you. Come on. Every day. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. We know that's getting worse and worse. Don't kid yourself. You have to know the word. You can't know about the word. You have to know the word. And if you've read the Bible, I've read the Bible once. Great. Then read it a second time. And then call me up after you've read it 30 or 40 or 50. You know what? Call me when you've read it 150 times.
And don't just speed read it.
Yeah. Just read it 150 times. Then call me and tell me. Okay. All right, great. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is OPM, Other People Matter, fulfilling the ministry of Jesus Christ here on the earth, because that's the ministry he gave you and I. So let's just do that. That's just a lot wiser. Okay? Let's love one another, care for one another, be a witness by caring for one another. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with them. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum?" And that means, "Little girl, I say unto you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, "She's dead, she's dead, she's dead." And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. When Saul became king, what was the nation that kept afflicting Israel? What was the nation that kept on like going, like never ended, right? I was like, oh, these guys are just never going away. When he became king, what was the nation that was afflicting them? If you think you know the answer, so yeah, I do know the number. Hold on. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email david@hemustincrease.org. I'm getting ready to do this massively great teaching, but before I mean, what I consider great teaching.
You're humble.
Yeah, sure. you betcha. You guys should have seen me 20 years ago. That's what's funny.
And I'm just joking, Dave.
I know. All right, ready for this? Four jokes, okay? This first one, I think, is a legend. Did you hear what I said? I think it's a legend. What did the mother buffalo say to her boy as he was leaving? What did the mother buffalo say to her boy as he was leaving? "Bye, son." Bye, son. See, bye, son. Come on.
I give you that one.
Come on. That is so good.
Bye, son.
What kind of snack do little monkeys have with their milk? Little monkeys have with their milk. What do they have? Chocolate chimp cookies.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. What did the teddy bear say when he was offered dessert? No thanks, I'm stuffed. And then how does an octopus go into battle? Fully armed.
Thank there. God it's Friday.
Amen. Okay. Once more on the trick. That one with the bison, that's a good one. That was a really good one. That's pretty good. All right, here we go. When Saul, became king, what was the nation that kept afflicting Israel? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. This is going to be such an amazing teaching. Not because I'm going to teach it, because somebody else actually. I'm using other people's material. Was that all right? Okay, great. Everybody knows how important it is to teach and love, right? I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to go through this little thing. You'll get it, okay? And we'll go from there, okay? Here's what it says. I'm just going to read this. Anybody, if I read it wrong, you can call in and tell us. Acts 20, 35 through 38. But this is not the portion that I want you to concentrate on. This is Paul saying, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, which said he will not see their face anymore. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So this is a true relationship understanding of loving one another. This is love exemplified. They're like, he's like, I tried to give you the best I could. Remember what Jesus said. You guys are great. Love you. And they all went, they're there together, and they're all, you know, getting ready. He's getting ready to leave, and they're all crying. Right? That's just so like, ooh, right? You know what's going on there. I mean, it's the same thing whenever you've had somebody had to say goodbye to somebody, and it's just like so heart-wrenching, and you know, it's hard. It's like, wow. All right, now I'm going to read you a story. Get ready for the story, because this is going to show you something. Because that portion in Acts 20, 35, 38, that's love, right? That's that. We love you. We are with you, so on and so forth. Now watch this. This is just blow you away. A certain church got rid of its pastor. When asked why, a spokesman said, because he kept telling people and kept telling us that we were hell-bound sinners. The person who asked the question said, well, what does the new guy do? What does he say? And they said, oh, he tells us we're sinners too. So the person then asked, well, then what's the difference? Listen to this. The difference is when the first guy said it, he sounded glad about it. But when this pastor says it, he lets you know it's breaking his heart. Ow. Do you get that one? When this pastor's saying it, telling us we're just sinners, he's happy about it. He's glad about it. But when this pastor, the new one's telling us, it just crushes him. This is the kind of ministry and witness that Paul exemplified, the truth taught without compromise, but with deep, sacrificial, unconditional love. If we thought about the people with whom we've tried to share our faith, would they respond with tears and sadness if we disappeared out of their lives? Or would they be glad to be rid of a self-righteous person more intent on being right and holy than on being a loving friend or relative? When the word of God is given with love and with Christ-like life, lived without hypocrisy and pride, then the Holy Spirit can reach the hearts that are not hardened by suspicion and defensiveness. You must support the weak, Paul said. And isn't that just about all of us? We're all weak, all sinners, and we all need to be saved by grace. So think of that when I read this out of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praise. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't think about itself. It's not easily irritated. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. It isn't happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Love never stops being patient, never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. It's like, wow, right? And so the difference in this, and then when I read this, and I'm just telling you because I want you to know this, is like, I know there are times when I've taught that I've had that first preacher syndrome. Where it's like, I'm telling you this and I'm glad. And then I know other times I've taught where I've taught and I'm like, this is killing me. You guys need to, you know, this is so important. I'm like bleeding out in my heart and mind when I'm sharing it. And I haven't done this perfectly, and I don't know anybody who has. I'm just being honest. But it's the right spirit with which to do it. In other words, when somebody is contrary, whether they're family or whether they're friend or whether they're a work associate or whether they're a neighbor, and you know they're contrary and you know it's contrary and you know it's not going to be, knowing that they're not going to make it should not make you glad. It should make you broke in your heart. Now, does that mean that every person is the perfect person and should get every ounce of everything you have? Probably not. I mean, it probably doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we got to move our little meter from 4 or 5 points on a 1 to 10 of compassion to maybe 8 or 9 points of compassion on a 1 to 10. Like, we should care. It should break our hearts that they don't get it. It's not that you shouldn't tell the truth, but that they don't get it? That's a crusher. That's terrible. You got a wayward family member. They got a wayward a friend. Should never stop trying. But don't be glad that you win an argument in the sense of, I won that argument. That won't do anything. But if they know that you really care about them, that will do something. Because you know what? When push comes to shove, when it all comes down to it, if all these people who said no to Jesus really knew how much he loved them, they would all say yes. All right? I mean, that's just way more true than not. All right. When Saul became king, what was the nation that kept afflicting Israel? It was the Philistines. The Philistines. The Philistines. I don't care what you call that because it's English.
I might have pronounced it wrong, Dave.
That doesn't matter.
We had the answer
it's the
right.
Dude with Goliath.
Right.
It was that guy, which is what brought in the whole Goliath scenario in the first place. And they were forever a thorn in the side of those people. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. This is a really good question. How many men did God use when he had Gideon defeat the Midianites? How many, what was the number when they beat those 100 and either 124,000 or 185,000? That's debatable, and I don't really care about that. How many men did God have Gideon use? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. I can give so many hints, but I just can't do it. Because so how many men? And it's just like, I mean, I could tell you that there was this, you know, Spartacus kind of movie and stuff like that, and that'd be that, and I'll just let you figure it out.
Was that a clue you just gave?
I don't know. I do want to send you up to the website, so again, you can. We do have somebody calling in, which we appreciate. 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483 is the text. David@hemustincrease.org is, in fact, the email. But we are going to send you up to the website. A couple things I want to tell you up ahead of time before we send you there. So hold on. Number one, and be aware of this, we're just putting as many things on there that we think are helpful for you as we can. Not everything is perfect on there, but there's some cool stuff on there. The prayer and praise forms are there for you. If you need prayer and don't want anybody to know about it, go to the website, fill out one of those forms, and there's only two or three people, three at the most, that will be praying for it. Nobody will share anything. We'll just keep it in prayer. It's just one of those things. Also, you should be aware that there are, of course, regular updates and things like that, ambassador information, brochures, and things of that nature, plus an opportunity to give and to partner with the ministry, and we ask you to do that. We ask you to, you know, they always say prayerfully consider. I think that's fair. Pray about it. If the Lord says no, don't do it. We support that as much as anything else. But if the Lord says yes, then do it. And we support that as much as anything else. Doesn't matter. We won't stop ministering to you. We won't stop loving you. You don't get loved any more or less. Doesn't work that way. How it works is, if you can help, great. If you can't, pray for us. Okay? Please check it out. Deuteronomy 15:10, by the way, give generously to him who is hurting. Do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hands. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise Report?
HeyHouseIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeyHouseIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeyMustIncrease.org.
HeyMustIncrease.org.
That's all, folks.
That's what we're going to say in about 25 minutes. Okay. Somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, this is Al again. Please forgive me for calling again.
I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not calling you Al again. I'm just telling you now ahead of time, okay?
So I have a question. I was reading in either, I think it might have been Numbers or Leviticus, and it's, you know, with all the wars and stuff going on. And this trivia question just reminded me of what I was thinking one morning while I was reading this. So there was something where the mighty men of David would kill, like, one guy would kill, like, 850 men.
Right.
How is that the Lord that killed these men? Or were they actually just that strong and that mighty to be able to do that?
Yeah, that's – and so to me, it's actually an excellent theological question, okay? And the question is it the Lord that's doing that through them? And the first and foremost answer is yes, because these are people that are protecting Israel. And so there is a graciousness that is given. The Lord fights against those that are opposed to Israel, regardless whether they're politicians or not. That part doesn't matter. But God also gives great favor to those who favor Israel and protect Israel. So that's it's a gifting from the Lord. Is it always supernatural? I don't think so, because I don't see that. But I think that's the calling that the Lord put them into, or kind of like the fulfillment of their purpose. And so they function in that.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating element, because they always rose to the occasion on each circumstance. And it's like absolutely astounding, amazing, right up until you think about the 185,000 people that were killed by an angel in one swoop. Then
mm-hmm.
you think,
yeah.
Okay.
Understand.
Yeah, but that's impressive. Like when the guy kills 850 or 400, or there's 200 or so many in an acre or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not 185,000. And so it's it's a very powerful, though, element. I think it's the Lord's favor is how I'd say it. I wouldn't say it was necessarily supernatural every moment, but I think it's God's grace that has mm-hmm. sustained them and enabled them.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, like I said, I just read that, and I'm like, okay, so they're in the middle of this battle with all these other, you know, against all these men. They got to say, whoa, whoa. Time out. I got to take 15 minutes here. Hold on, guys. You know,
yeah.
I just don't know how they stayed on their feet that long, swinging a sword.
I think there's one text where they said that his hand was stuck to the swords. They had to peel his hand. I mean, it's just like, you know, that they did have the result of that. It wasn't all super easy deezy. It wasn't like Twinkies and pudding. Mm-hmm. It was a little tougher than that. But the Lord always had them prevail. I mean, it's just like it's amazing. Now, do you know the answer to the trivia question?
I believe I do.
Okay. How many men did God give Gideon to use to defeat the Midianites?
Was it 300?
It is 300! Redemption for Al! Great job, brother. That's exactly right.
Bye, man.
All right, brother.
Bye, brother.
God bless. Bye-bye. Isn't he great? That was great.
Yeah, that was a good question, too.
All right, great question. All right, here we go. I'm going to go to this Matthew one. I'm just going to go straight to it. You're just going to have to wait. We'll do our history later on. Here we go. Okay? This is Matthew. This is chapter 11, and this is verse 27 and 28. And this is going to be more theology in 5 minutes than you can get in a seminary course. You think I'm kidding? That's what's funny. Here is what the text says, and I just want you to be ready for it. We're in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to read first out of the NIV because it'll maybe relate to you guys a little bit more on verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. So this is John, Matthew chapter 11, or sorry, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Okay, you got that? That's the text, right? Got it? Right? All things have been committed to me by my Father. When it says all things have been committed to me by my Father, it means that there's no secrets between the Father and the Son. There never has been. The fact that he said they've been committed to me is a past tense reference. It shows of the, it really kind of speaks of the eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future that's in Jesus Christ and the Father. And so what we don't understand is how intimate and intricate the Father and the Son are. All things, how many is all? I think it's all, have been committed to me by my Father. So the Father has given the Son everything. You think that's impressive? That's not impressive. This is impressive. This is theology. No one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except for the Father. Here's what it says. No one knows the Son except the Father, and I'll reverse it. And no one knows the Father except the Son.
This is just going to blow your mind.
The Greek word is epikenosa in both instances. So no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. In both instances, it's epikenosa. It's knowledge by contact, by relationship, by it's feeling, thinking. It's every part of the process of a person. And so Jesus is telling everybody that the Father and the Son have the most intimate relationship that any brain could possibly wire to. Why is that important? That's important because then, as Jesus reveals who the Father is, only Jesus can actually tell you who the Father is, because they're so intricately connected. They know each other by contact, by feeling, by thought, by process, by touch, and only Jesus can reveal who that is. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So when all those people go around and they say, I'm just telling you right now, don't get mad at me. When all those people go around and they say, he was just a good moral teacher. Well, this good moral teacher in this one verse, I know you're thinking, I didn't get that in this verse. Well, that's why you got to dig deep sometimes, because Jesus is saying all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. Hold on. I'm going to get to the last part in a second. But see, nobody knows the Father except the Son. Nobody knows the Son except the Father. That is how intimate that is. That is how connected that is. It defines the intimate relationship. The communion between God the Father and God the Son is at the core of all of this. And so when Jesus came on earth in the flesh, he was the only, this is just why this is so unbelievable, the only one that could explain, define, help understand and connect to the Father the way he did, because there's no separation there. It's just like, oh, wait, no, come on, Dave. No, wait, I'm not done. This is just the first part. All things are committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Uh-oh. For anyone else to know God, God must reveal himself to that person by the choice of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? You are a part of this verse that Jesus has made. Don't start asking about, I'm talking to you. You have been made known to the Father, by the Son, from the Father, to the, you were chosen! And God revealed himself to you. And nobody else can do that, except for Jesus. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Chosen. So past our capacity to understand free will, foreknowledge, predestined. So past our understanding. It's so cute. I mean, there's everybody's so cute. Well, this is this and this is this. Sure it is. It's like, this is why I say that. And I don't mean that rude. It's just a sure it is. It's like some things happen that just have zero to do with anybody's input. Just the God's like, yeah, we're doing this. And I've always thought this, and I'm just going to say it, and then we'll exit because it's just too funny. You got people that walk on the planet, and it's like, I am the master of my own destiny. So I had a college class where we're having our discussion, and so somebody goes, well, you're kind of like in charge. You're in charge of your own destiny. And I just said, until a piano falls on your head, I said, then you're not in charge of your destiny. It's like, you think, what? It's like, yeah, you can't do anything about that. How about we all just humble it down a notch? Listen, you have to make decisions. Okay? But let's put it where it belongs. God is in charge. Always has been, always will be. All right, we'll take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say, Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. Like there's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, who touched me? And they're all like going, okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here. And he's like, who touched me? And then the woman said, it was me. Right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody and goes, yeah, you're well now, huh? It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, right, because God's not like that, he's like, oh, your faith has healed you. Okay, your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're getting ready to do our very last trivia question, of which I am very confident many of you will get this. When a demon was affecting and afflicting Saul, who played the music that made the demon go away? That's a good one to end on right there. Who played the music that made the demon go away? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is calling in, and we are going to give them an opportunity to answer. So, hold on. I moved my head, and so I'm missing the microphone.
Be careful over there.
And I can't believe it. I move my head, and it's like the mic goes over there. It's like, wait, come back here. Mr. Microphone. Okay. Somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Shabbat shalom, brother.
Shabbat shalom, brother. How are you?
Very good. The answer of your trivia question is that was you were playing harp for a big
Yes, it was me. Okay, no. And I could tell you it was the person I was named after, but that would not be true. So I'm not going
to
say
actually,
that.
Sorry, I'm going to back down because you're a doctor and he was a king. So.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So it was David. Before he was king, he was playing it. That's right, brother. Excellent job. Excellent job. How are you?
I'm very hot right now. Even I can't hold my steering wheel, so I'm using napkin to hold my steering wheel.
I talked to somebody today. Said this is hot. I said I did swamp coolers in Phoenix in 118, 860 degrees in the attics using tar. So I don't want to hear about hot. That was hot.
Yeah, my odometer is showing like 109, and say is the camera cannot be operated because it's too hot.
So you just think about this: how absolutely hot is hell going to be, and why would you want? What is wrong with you people? Why would you want it to be any hotter than it is? Oh my goodness! Anyway, here's a great idea. Go into any restaurant or any you know big store and walk around for a little while.
All right. Thank you, brother, and happy Shabbat Shalom to everyone. And I was praying for you last night during your meeting. How was it?
It went good. It went good. Pastor Lash will be on. We think in the next Jesus. 2 weeks. Yep. We're looking forward to it.
Good.
Thank you, brother.
Very good. All right.
God bless you.
Have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. All right, we're going to do the very last teaching. We got about 5 minutes left. We're probably going to have to just skip history because we just don't have time. See, that's what happens.
I don't know how we got behind.
That's just one of those things. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9 through 11. Very important text. So actually, if you can turn there. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9 through 11. Here we go. Please be praying for everybody like Samson and like all of our brothers and sisters. Be praying for Al. Be praying for Deborah. Be praying for Mary. Be praying for everybody. Be praying for Gary. Don't stop praying for people. Pray for Rosalind. Just pray for everybody you can think of that comes to your mind. We're going to reset August Buddies next week because I forgot. Well, I didn't forget. I just didn't write it down. So it's not forget it. It's like, okay. Well, anyway, let's do this. Isaiah 58, 9 through 11. Okay? At that time when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, here I am. If you get rid of the yoke from those around you, the finger pointing and malicious speaking, and if you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never run dry. Wow, that's some cool stuff, right? Who doesn't want? I want that. Everybody should want that, right? God is saying straight out, just keeping it simple. You call, here I am. People are like, well, you can't just call on the name of the Lord. You can't just get saved by a prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13, Joel 2:32. Here in Isaiah 58:9, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, here I am. Okay? That is a promise. And then he says, if you get rid of the yoke from those around you, the finger pointing and malicious speaking. So there's two elements here, two thoughts or two theologies, depending on the translation. This is people speaking about you or you speaking about people. Yeah, I don't care. If somebody says something about you, don't receive it. But primarily, if you're finger pointing, don't do it. If you're looking at people and you're dropping malicious speaking, stop that. Right? I mean, even as I'm sharing this with you, I'm convicted of this. It's like, I got to be careful. You know, I mean, I obviously, two Jews, three opinions. You know, I obviously have opinions on all the things that are going on around us. I don't teach on those, but I have opinions. I got to be careful, not just with that, but just speaking it out in the air. You ought to be careful. That's what the Lord is saying. You ought to be careful. In fact, it's like, Dave, you call on me, I'm right here, right? But do me a favor and stop pointing fingers and stop speaking maliciously and just stop it. And again, if somebody's doing that to you, here's a great thing. Get rid of the yoke. Don't receive that. This is then your light will shine. In other words, then the light bulb goes off. And listen to this, though. This is the thing. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, strengthen your bones. You'll be like watered, a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never run dry. Even if you mess up, but earnestly call to the Lord. He will direct you. He will direct me. He will redirect us. Listen to this, Philippians 3:15. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even unto you. In other words, even if you make a mistake, God will go, hey, 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 this way, knucklehead, over here, go this way, right? Just so you can know, that's exactly how I talk to my dog. I'm not kidding. But we love her. Don't get it wrong. But it's like, no, no, Bertie. Over here, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here. Right?
I think the Lord has to do that with me sometimes.
Over here, Dave. Over here, over here, over here, over here. Over here, Dave. Over here. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Look, here's a treat. Come over here. Okay.
All I'm trying to say is this.
You call on the Lord, he's there for you. But if you're one of those people that do operate in the finger-pointing, malicious speaking, stop it. Because every word you speak is recorded. And man shall have to give an account for every word spoken. Ouch. Yikes. Okay, we'll take our break here because that's enough. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 70 1/2 hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.